three passages of scripture to read. Right. Well, the first one is in Psalm 51. Psalm 51, which is on page 724. You've got the same Bible that I have. Psalm 51 and verse 4, just the first part. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. And if we could skip over to the New Testament in Galatians and chapter 2, which is on page 1405. Galatians chapter 2 and halfway through verse 20. The Son of God, who has loved me and given himself for me. And then finally, in the Gospel of John. John chapter 20 and halfway through verse 26. Jesus comes, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he says to Thomas, "Bring thy finger here and see my hands, and bring thy hand and put it into my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." The three passages that I read tonight. The first one has the word "I" in it. The second one has the word "me" in it. And the last one has the word "my" in it. I want to talk tonight about a personal saviour. A personal message. And a personal message from God directly to you. The man in this psalm here, read a little bit at the top. It says, it's a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet came to him and after he'd gone into Bathsheba. This was King David. And this was his psalm that he wrote after he realized the magnitude of his sin that he had committed. And he says here, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight." Sometimes when you hear a gospel preaching, you often hear the verse in Romans where it says, "For all have sinned and come short of God's glory." And that is a perfectly true verse. And what a challenge it is, and what a sentence it is that it brings all men under the same judgment. But it's also easy to think, well, for all men, and not to include yourself in that verse. To think, well, I'm not quite so bad. I'm not quite as bad as Paul was making out here. But I wanted to read this verse tonight because it talks very personally. "I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight." That's what we've got to come to in the gospel. That you can't just cop out of being a sinner. You can't just turn a blind eye to being a sinner. It's a personal thing. You've got to realise that you are a sinner. I am a sinner before God. And it's easy to think, as I said, to look at yourself and think, well, I'm not as bad as some people that you read about in the news, or you hear about, or perhaps even that you know. But the trouble is with that is you're judging yourself against man's standard. And man's standard changes over time, and it's getting worse as the days go by. But God wants you to look at yourself against his standard, his perfect, unchanging standard, that has stayed the same forever, for eternity. You can look through the Old Testament from Genesis, and then you can look through the New Testament from Genesis to Revelation. God's standard stays the same. Unchanging, unmovable. God is a holy God and a righteous God. We hear a lot about God is love, and what a true fact that is, that God is love. But God is also a holy God and a righteous God. If you go back to Genesis and you hear about the first sin that was ever committed, the sin of disobedience, God couldn't turn a blind eye to the fact that Adam and Eve had sinned. God couldn't turn a blind eye to the fact that because of this, this great barrier, this great divide had come in between him and his creature. He can't just turn a blind eye to that. God is a righteous God and a holy God and a perfect God. And he had to, if you can read about it in Genesis, he had to remove Adam and Eve from the garden, out of his presence. That's where we find ourselves tonight. Against the only have I sinned. All sin ultimately is against God. You might hurt people, you might anger people with the things that you do, but ultimately all your sin is against God. We are the ones that have sinned before God. I have sinned before God, you have sinned before God. And this great divide has been created between us and God because of our sin. God cannot have sin in his presence at all. His very nature of being holy and perfect, he can't have sin in his presence. I've said this before, but if you ever think of the experiment that maybe you've done at school where you put a little bit of oil in some water and they don't mix at all. They create two very separate layers. You cannot mix sin and God. They repel each other. God absolutely abhors, hates sin. So much that he had to remove his creature. The creature that he said was very good, that he loved, from his garden. That is how much God hates sin. That is the position that we find ourselves in tonight, as distance between us and God because of our sin. And you might say, well, as I said, I'm not that bad. But it only took one sin for Adam and Eve to leave the garden. It only takes one sin to remove you from God's presence. And even if hypothetically you could go through your entire life without doing one sin, if you read further on in this psalm over the next page, it says, "Behold, in iniquity was I brought forth, and in sin did my mother conceive me." We're under this curse of sin, every one of us, inescapable. We're all given this title of being sinners. You know, men love giving themselves titles. I've got a degree, and if I wanted to, I could put three little letters, I don't know what they are, after my name. People love having OBE or Sir before their name. But there's one title that men don't like to admit, that they are a sinner. Mm-hmm. But it's a title that every single one of us has, that we're sinners before a holy God. Before thee and thee only have I sinned. What a predicament, then, that we find ourselves in. This distance that's come in between us and God. We can do nothing about it. And we don't, in our sinful nature, don't want to do anything about it. The Bible says that we're enemies of God. But God, from his own side, has designed a way so that he can righteously come in and bless us, keeping all his righteous nature intact, and yet still bless the sinner. How did that happen? Well, if you turn to Galatians, we've got there, "The Son of God who has loved me and given himself for me." This was God's answer to the great sin problem. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. A man that you hear about week after week from this position here. Because what a man he is. There's none other that is like the Lord Jesus Christ. Unique in every way. He's the only man that ever did everything that God had intended. He's the only man that ever did for God, and he's the only man that will ever do for God. He's perfect in everything he did. And it says here, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." I said before that we're all sinners. And it says somewhere else in the Bible that the wages of sin is death. And ultimately, dear friend, we're all going to die. The Bible says that. The wages of sin is death. But it says here, "The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The Lord Jesus Christ died when I should have died. The Lord Jesus Christ took my place on that cross so that I didn't have to bear the punishment that God has to give, has to judge sin. And the Lord Jesus Christ bore that punishment for me. A substitute, if you like. He took my place. The Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's an individual matter to come into. It's not something that you can say, well, I've been brought up in a Christian household so that I'm now a Christian. Or that because I come to the meeting every week, that makes me a Christian. Or even that I read my Bible every day, that makes me a Christian. There's only one way that you can, with any sort of authority, say that you're a Christian. That's by putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, coming under the shed blood that he and seeing him hanging there on that cross for you. You know, it's an individual matter. Mm. Not something that your parents can do, or your brothers can do, or your sisters, or any relation or friend can do for you. It's something you have to come to yourself. Mm. And it's something you have to come to by yourself. There's no way that you can, if you think of the expression, sort of piggyback your way. Someone else's basis coming into the God's blessing. Coming into his blessing because of somebody else's faith. It's your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And you've got to see the Lord Jesus Christ there for yourself. Mm-hmm. We read this afternoon about God's word and how precious it is. But you've got to make it your own. Mm-hmm. You've got to make it your own. Because how important that is. You can't just base your faith on somebody else's. Mm. It's so important to make this your own, which is why Paul says here, the Son of God who has loved me. Mm. It's a personal thing. He loved me, and he loves you. So much that he gave himself for you. Mm. And because of that, doesn't he deserve a response? Mm-hmm. Think of the great giving that the Lord gave. He gave everything to secure you. And doesn't that deserve a response, dear friend? Mm. Doesn't that deserve an answer? Before you go out of this room tonight, doesn't that deserve an answer? Mm-hmm. The great giving of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When he died on that cross, it opened the door for God to come out towards you in blessing. Mm-hmm. God couldn't move towards the sinner without that sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. How important that sacrifice was. So that God could come out towards you and bless you and bring you into everything that he's wanted to give you. And it's all there, ready and done. The Lord Jesus Christ said on the cross, it is finished. That means that the only thing that you have to do is believe that it was done for you. There's nothing else for us to do. There's nothing else we can do. The more we try and add ourselves into the gospel, the more irrelevant and the more impossible it becomes to believe. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's all about what he has done. Mm-hmm. He gave himself for me. And in those 3 hours of darkness, when he bore the judgment of sin, and then he said, it is finished, and it's done, and it's done forever. Mm-hmm. And then he rose again. And what a happy message the gospel is. Mm-hmm. Because the resurrection proved that God was pleased and happy and satisfied with the sacrifice the Lord Jesus gave on that cross. That blood that was presented before God was satisfactory to his righteous requirements. Mm-hmm. And God can come out towards you tonight in righteousness and in love. Mm. So that you can come into that blessing that he's prepared. Mm. What a giving God he is. What a God he is that he gave his only son to secure you. Mm. While we were yet sinners, it says. Mm. When you didn't want anything to do with God, he sent his son to rescue you. Mm. That deserves a response, I think. Mm. And so, he rose again, and he's gone now into the glory. And that's where he is now, seated at the Father's right hand. Mm-hmm. And he's waiting to return for all those that have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We heard a little bit this weekend about the assembly. And what a thrill it is in the Lord Jesus' heart to have a company of people that are responsive to him. Mm-hmm. And that's what you go into straight away. As soon as you believe, you become part of this assembly, part of this great company. And you're waiting here for the Lord's return. Mm-hmm. And what a soon return it will be. Mm-hmm. And it's a hope for a Christian, but it's a warning for all those that have not yet been saved. Mm-hmm. Because the Lord Jesus Christ could come back at any moment. Mm-hmm. And all those that belong to him will be taken to be with him. Mm-hmm. It says in the twinkling of an eye, that's faster than you can blink. Mm-hmm. And we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that means that from that moment on, there will be no gospel of salvation like there is now preached from this desk here. Mm-hmm. One day this room will be locked. And you might come to this room expecting to hear a gospel. And there will be none preached like the one I'm preaching tonight. Mm. Dear friend, there is an urgent side to the gospel as well. Mm. There is a side where you must do it now. The Bible says, now is the well-accepted time of salvation. Mm. Mm. Not next week. I don't know maybe how many times you've heard the gospel before. This could be your last time you listen to it. God doesn't even promise you tomorrow. Mm. In fact, it's 21 minutes past 6 o'clock. Half past six, we could be taken. Have you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? Mm-hmm. It could happen at any moment. Mm-hmm. Now is a well-accepted time. It's a hope and it's a warning for believers. And what a hope it is. It's something that keeps you going if you're saved. It's something that you can keep your eye on. Mm-hmm. Something you keep your mind on. Mm-hmm. The soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's one of the many blessings that God gives those that trust in Him. Mm-hmm. A great hope that one day they'll see their Saviour face to face. And I wonder, dear friend, is that your hope tonight? Mm-hmm. But you can make it your hope tonight by putting your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I read finally from John chapter 20. And the bit I really wanted to focus on was my Lord and my God. So you might be sitting here tonight and you might be thinking, well, yes, I know I'm saved. I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ however many years, days, months ago. But there's more than being saved to being a Christian. There's more than salvation on offer tonight. Because the Lord Jesus Christ isn't just a Saviour. He can also be your Lord. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, yes, I'm saved. But is Jesus your Lord? Is He in total control of your life? Have you surrendered entirely everything over to Him? Or are there some little bits in your life that you're thinking, well, I'd quite like to hold on to this. I'd quite like to keep this little bit to myself. And I challenge myself with this as well. Have we given everything over to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, you can imagine Thomas here. He said quite clearly before, unless I put my hands or see his hands and the mark of his nails, I will not believe. And then he sees the Lord and you can almost imagine him unable to say anything else but these four words here, my Lord and my God. He's so overwhelmed with the Lord coming to him that he couldn't say anything else but my Lord and my God. Mm. And shouldn't that really be our response when we see the effect of the Lord's death? Mm. It should give up a response in our hearts. Mm. He's given so much for us. Mm-hmm. Surely we should give as much as we can back to Him. All of our lives back to Him. Mm-hmm. Not to repay in any sort of way, but it would show the love and affection that we would have for Him. Mm-hmm. So it should make us respond in the way that Thomas did here, my Lord and my God. To be totally committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. To be absolutely surrendering your life to Him. Mm-hmm. So that for the rest of your time down here, you don't just see the Lord as a Saviour God, but you see Him as somebody who is in total charge of everything in your life. Mm-hmm. Absolutely committed to His His work down here and committed to Him as the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You know, you go back to the psalm that I read first, it says there, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. It's so easy to lose that joy. That initial joy when you're saved, it's the most amazing thing. And it's easy for it to grow cold over time. But that's not what God would have us to do. He wants us to be constantly, freshly, joyful about what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. To be constantly and freshly reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. To be totally committed in response to the great giving that God has given and the Lord Jesus Christ gave in Himself. What a privilege it is to be able to say that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Lord. Not just a Saviour. That's the most important thing perhaps in the gospel meeting tonight. To say that He's your Saviour. But also to go out of this room perhaps recommitting yourself to Him. Mm-hmm. And to say that yes, He is my Lord and my God. Mm-hmm. I just leave these things with you. And pray that if anybody yet has not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour tonight, that they may do so. Mm. A personal thing, an individual thing. Mm. Something only you can do, and you can do it right now before you leave this room tonight. Mm. Sitting on your chair here in this room. Mm. You can do it tonight. An individual thing. Come before God in your sins. Mm. The hymn says, just as I am. Mm. Not anyone else, it's all about you. God's talking to you tonight. Mm. Don't worry about the person on the left or the right or in front of you. It's between you and God. Mm. Make the Lord Jesus Christ your Saviour and your Lord tonight for His own sake. Amen. Amen.